The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Hello, everyone. It's Monday, April 1st. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. I hope everyone had a great Resurrection Day. I know for the Western world, we recognize this is Easter. We've talked about this in previous podcasts, but I have my own personal convictions about this. We don't celebrate Easter as in the Western celebration of Easter, but we commemorate Passover, which in my opinion is found biblically. Easter is very paganistic in its roots, and it's very commercialized in its Western influence. But nevertheless, I hope everyone had a great weekend, whatever that looked like for you when you commemorated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. While we were doing that, we had some interesting things happen that has really ruffled a lot of feathers, and in my opinion, is the latest slap in the face of God. Now, before we get started on this, can you do me a favor? Hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that push notification, and be sure to pick up our free app today. Again, depending on your device, if you have an Apple or Android device, you can go to your Play Store, look for our official ETH logo, look for End Time Headlines, get our app, pick it up today, download it, again, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. Every headline, every podcast, just like this, will be right at your fingertips for your convenience. And again, hope you guys that are new, we'll let us know where you guys are joining us from in any of the comment section, whether it's the chat room on YouTube, whether it's on YouTube or whatever that looks like for you. Let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from, because we would love to hear from you. All right. So back in 2009, something very interesting happened. I was not personally aware of this until it was brought to light yesterday, but apparently back in 2009, Rachel Crandall Crocker, who was the executive director and co-founder of a movement called the Transgender Michigan, organized its first quote-unquote day of visibility. Now, again, this was all the way back in 2009, and it was instituted on March the 31st. Now, we know that date will be different every year. So again, this was brought a lot of people, I don't know, maybe you guys were aware of this. I was not aware of this, but, this International Transgender Day of Visibility that is quote unquote observed around the world to bring attention to the population that it's often quote ignored, disparaged, or victimized. It takes place and is commemorated on March the 31st. Now, the reason why most of us know this now is because of this article or because of this report that I'm about to show you. And that is that Joe Biden on Saturday, he got up and declared that this following Sunday, which was yesterday, which was Easter, which again, I want to make this known that, you know, maybe you have the same convictions as Brother Ricky, but most of the Western world, let's just get this clear here. Most of the Western world looks at Easter as the commemoration or the remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He went through a horrific transition process to be crucified, just like the scriptures talk about. He was buried and he rose again from the dead on the third day. And Easter Sunday is the day in which the Western world predominantly, now I believe there's other places around the world that also commemorate that day, but especially in the Western world, everybody, if you went to church yesterday, this is what the theme of the message was, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we as believers and Christians, this is our core, major, foundational doctrine. Because if you don't believe that Jesus Christ got up out of the grave, come on, and rose again from the dead, then you don't even believe the gospel. You don't even believe he's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. So the fact that our president of the United States gets up and gives an official White House announcement on Friday declaring that Transgender Day of Visibility this year will fall on Easter Sunday. And I want to read this statement from Joe Biden himself. Now, guys, please stick around for the whole message, because as you know, I'm going to talk about how when a backslidden nation falls away from God, God himself allows and appoints wicked leaders and kings to reign over them to bring judgment upon that nation. So you've got to stick with me here. We're building a whole foundation for this entire message today. Quote, "Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024, which was, Easter Sunday, as Transgender Day of Visibility." President Joe Biden wrote in a Friday statement that, quote, "I call upon all Americans to join us in lifting up the lives and voices of transgender people throughout our nation and to work towards eliminating violence and discrimination based on gender identity." So to recap this, our current leader of the United States of America gets up and addresses the nation on Friday through the White House and a statement that we are recognizing on the day in which we commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, come on, as the Messiah, just as was it proclaimed of him, we are hijacking that day and making it about Transgender Day of Visibility. No mention of Easter, no mention of resurrection of Christ, no mention of Christianity, no mention of Jesus. In fact, the White House even went a step further and said that, quote, "religious theme designs were banned from the White House, including an Easter egg art contest." Quote, "Children of the National Guard are prohibited from submitting religious Easter egg designs for the 2024 Celebrating National Guard Families Art event at the White House. The art contest is part of the White House's Easter tradition." So this is an Easter tradition, which include the annual Easter egg roll. The flyer for the contest states that an Easter egg design submission, quote, I'm going to read this, "must not include any questionable content, religious symbols, or overtly religious themes or partisan political statements." Now, I wonder, I'm going to read this and I'm going to come back with my thought real quick. Quote, "As part of the White House Easter traditions, American egg farmers for nearly 50 years, think about it, 50-year tradition, have proudly presented intricately decorated commemorative Easter egg to the First Lady of the U.S. Over the past 50 years, this has happened. Back in 2021, the White House expanded on this longstanding tradition by displaying youth-designed Easter eggs in the White House East Colonnade, the flyer explains. Again, this was back in 2021. On behalf of the First Lady Jill Biden, the General of the National Guard are asking youth from the National Guard families across the U.S. and all U.S. territories to submit artwork inspired by themes celebrating our family, military families, the flyer continues. And here's a picture of it. This one was from 2022, but again, this was a 50-year celebration. However, winds of change have now come to Washington and all kinds of bans are put in place. I've never seen an administration and a culture that is so infatuated with banning. We're banning people, we're banning this, banning that, banning words, banning phrases. Children, cannot promote material that promotes bigotry, racism, hatred, or harm against any group or individual, or promotes discrimination based on race, gender, religion, nationality, disability, sexual orientation, or age in their designs. So we're banning it. We're getting rid of it. No religious themes, nothing about God, nothing about Jesus. It's all gone. But wait a minute. What about Ramadan? Are they going to ban Ramadan? Because after all, that is a religious themed event, would you not say? Oh, that's right. They're not going to completely ban that. They're only going to scale it down. According to NPR, the White House is planning a scaled down iftar dinner to mark Ramadan this year. The White House is planning to host a small, solemn Ramadan iftar dinner this Tuesday evening, which is a scaled down version of the traditional celebration given the ongoing war in Gaza. So the only reason, listen to me, that they're scaling this down is because of the quote unquote war in the Middle East. But that's, listen, I don't want to politicize this. I'm talking about, isn't it absolutely profound that this guy and his administration want to completely ban quote unquote religious themed events, AKA Easter, AKA the celebration, if you would, in the Western perspective of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But of course, an event that's centered around Muslims is permitted and allowed and even being hosted by the White House. The Biden administration has made LGBT activism a cornerstone of its policy priorities. If you don't believe that, there was a new report from CBN News stating that the White House is vowing, that's a strong word, they are vowing to repeal a provision in the newly passed government spending bill that blocks U.S. embassies from flying or displaying the LGBTQ pride flag. This ban was a provision tucked inside of a $1.2 trillion spending package that was signed by Biden this past weekend to avoid a government, or excuse me, not this past weekend, but recently to avoid a government shutdown. The move is a reversal from the State Department's 2021 authorization for U.S. diplomatic facilities around the world to fly pride flags. The new measure stipulates that no U.S. funding can be used to fly or display a flag over a facility to the U.S. Department of State other than the American flag. But this administration is so bent on promoting this stuff and advocating this stuff that they are vowing to repeal this provision. Now, again, this is the same administration. Look at this report. This was back, this was in 2 years ago. Quote, the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, warns that attacks on LGBTQ communities are the, quote, canary in the coal mine for broader anti-freedom efforts. Look at this headline from Politico, quote, I press Saudis on LGBTQ issues in every conversation. So every conversation that this guy has with Saudi Arabia, representing the United States interest, he quote, I quote, I have this conversation with them. I press this LGBTQ agenda every chance I have, every conversation I have. And that's with Saudi Arabia. We don't even know what's being said to other world leaders that these people are engaged with. Guys, listen to me. I'm getting ready to get into the Word of God on this. I want to give you, there was a video I found, and I'm going to show you this, and we're going to watch it together. And this, what was said in this is profound, and it's exactly what I feel about this as well. So let's watch this together.
Now to this. Critics say Biden and the woke mob are taking a swipe at Christians this Easter. This year, Easter Sunday falls on Transgender Visibility Day, which is traditionally on March 31st. But this year, not only did Fairfax County, Virginia, make an official proclamation for Easter Sunday, so did President Biden. Biden was the first president ever to issue an official proclamation for Transgender Day of Visibility, and this was back in 2021. And in his proclamation this year, he said, quote, "Today we send a message to all transgender Americans. You are loved, you are heard, you are understood, you belong, you are America, and my entire administration and I have your back."
Stop. So again, notice how Biden is a continuation of President Barack Obama. Obama in 2015 made history. And remember, Barack Obama made history back in 2015 when he pushed the Supreme Court to enact this, to legislate same-sex marriage ruling and called it a, quote, victory for America. Look at this cover on your screen. Remember this? He lit the whole White House up in the LGBTQ colors. This was back in 2015. So then you fast forward and you have now Biden, who is, again, wants this, and I'm telling you, everybody that saw this, that had any kind of discernment and understood the word of God, we understood and knew that this was, that was Pandora's box that opened. And once that opened, it was only going to go downhill from there. And look what, and now here we are, and you fast forward to 2024, which again in 2021, this proclamation was made by Biden, and to recognize now it's not just same-sex couples and marriages, now it's transgenders. My friend, I'm going to ask you a question. We're going to watch the rest of this video, but what comes after this? What comes 3 years from now if America is still standing? If the Lord is not returned 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Are we going to open the door for, when I read the book of Ezekiel and it tells us detailed descriptions of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plains, you read Genesis 19 in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about this, and it uses a term called sexual immorality. Now, listen, I can't go into graphic details of what sexual immorality entails based on Romans chapter 1, based on the book of Leviticus, based on Genesis 19, based on Ezekiel and other parts of the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, it entails things that I would even blush to even talk to you about. These, according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, these things are called an abomination. And I'm getting ready to show you this in a minute, but he warns nations and individuals who partake of these abominations, there will be consequences to it. God is not turning a blind eye. Just because we have not seen judgment on a scale that we see in Sodom and Gomorrah, per se, there's a reason for that. And again, I'm telling you to hang on there. Let's watch this video and we'll get into that.
The Fairfax County Board making a similar proclamation this week.
I'm just very happy that we're recognizing a community that has too often been pushed into the shadows and celebrating yet another community within our diverse tapestry here in Fairfax County.
But on Easter Sunday. Wow.
Okay, so this day actually goes back to 2010. And when President Biden first made this proclamation back in 2021, that year Easter was on April 4th. Except this year, they both happen on the same day, Lisa.
But it's also a random day created by a random person out of Michigan in the same way that I could declare March 30th is the day of Lisa. The White House also banned religious-themed designs from the White House Easter egg art contest, when the whole point of Easter is to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a religious holiday, a religious celebration. To celebrate the day of trans visibility in and of itself is an affront to Christianity, because the Bible says that God made man and he made woman. He made male and female. To say
that was a truth bomb.
Otherwise is to deny the truth, is to deny God's creation. Also, To do it on Easter is blasphemous. You can even go back to the last trans day of visibility in 2023. He celebrated after Christian individuals were murdered by a trans person at the Covenant School in Nashville. And then the White House proceeded to go on and say that it was the trans community under attack, not Christianity. So,
wow. Unbelievable, guys. See, that's what I'm talking about.
I am so sorry that I believe that Joe Biden understands the optics of it, and he is doing this intentionally, and he is thumbing his nose at Christians and Easter, and he's essentially spitting in the face of Christians everywhere.
Well, we also have, there's a Virginia mom who told Fox News Digital, Stephanie Lundquist, that, quote, they are intentionally trying to offend Christians on the holiest of days by forcing gender ideology down their throats. This is reprehensible and unbecoming of our elected representatives, David.
Isn't Joe Biden Catholic?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. I'm right. With Lisa. This is not a thing. It was made up. It's like Kwanzaa. It was made up by somebody to do something. Who are they appealing to? There are roughly 1.6 million or so people in the U.S., according to some reports, that identify as transgender. Where are they going?
Think about that. We're appealing to that tiny percentage of individuals. And this is what's absolutely astonishing and terrifying at the same time.
But here's what they've done. They're gaslighting the American people because of the coincidence of this made-up day versus an actual day that means something to billions of people worldwide, not just here in the United States. They want us talking about them. And this whole thing with the Easter egg hunt, now I've been to a few of those. It's a lot of fun. You eat a lot of too many eggs. But part of it was people expressing themselves. So now the government, under the Biden auspice, will tell you that you can't present a religious, First Amendment, a religious imagery on an egg. I mean, again, this is I'm even more cynical than Lisa. This is gaslighting.
I was trying to be calm.
How could you be that calm? Because I know you're not. No, but seriously, they're just gaslighting us into this topic. This is false, just like this quote, day of visibility. You're visible every other day of the year.
All right, guys. Now let's get into some scripture on this. I want to tell you the reason why this is so terrifying for us as Americans. Now, again, I can't speak for the world because I live in America. I don't live overseas. I live here in America. And this is our president proclaiming this, okay? Our current sitting president. But I want to tell you, friend, that when God is ready to judge a nation, you can go to the book of Judges, and I'm going to point this out a little bit more in detail. But he will give them over to wicked rulers and kings in order to fulfill his judgment that has been decreed against them. Why is God bringing judgment? Again, the word of God plainly tells us in the book of Jude, it's got one chapter, verse 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, that's the cities of the plains, in similar manner to these, gave themselves over to sexual immorality. Come on, they gave themselves over to it. They surrendered to it. They succumbed to it. It was on the front burner. It's all they talked about. It was on the mouths of every individual. It was commemorated. It was displayed. Judges, even I could take you to the book of Jasher, which is Jewish history, and even the judges were corrupt, and they even passed legislations that allowed acts, and I can't, again, I have to be careful with my words here. They allowed certain acts to take place, ACTS, acts in the streets with men, that was, again, abominations. And the Bible says, Jude said, just like these cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them gave themselves over to these kind of practices, going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Translation. If you go in the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, you will be judged in the like manner of Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I know this is not popular. You're not going to hear this on Christian television. You're not going to hear this on Christian radio or any where all the false prophets all prophesy lies and smooth sayings and never warn you about these things that I'm telling you about. I'm telling you, this is the word of God. I can take you to 1 Samuel chapter 8. And we could talk about how the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel. And they said, look, you're getting old. Your sons are not walking in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But there, your Bible says in 1 Samuel 8, 6, that this thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel goes and prays to God, and the Lord says to Samuel, listen, this is very important. Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, and that I should not reign over them. Again, it was never God's original intent. God wanted a theocracy where he ruled, reigned, and supreme over the nations. And by the way, that's coming in the new millennial. When he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he won't be voted in. There won't be a poll. He won't ask for your permission. He's coming back with a rod of iron to set up his rule and reign and rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. But he tells Samuel, listen to the people, give heed to them, give them what they want because they're not rejecting you. Samuel, don't take this personally. Come on, that's a word for all of us watchmen. When people get mad at us and they want to hear us, don't take it personal. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. And that's what God told Samuel. They're rejecting me according to all the works which they've done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt. Not Moses, me, through Egypt. They don't give him glory, though. Even to this day, which they have forsaken me. Oh, I got to highlight this. Even to this day, they have forsaken me and served other gods. Hello, America. So they are doing to you also. Now, therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them. Come on, we got to warn them. Show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. In other words, they want a king. They want a leader. They want this president. They want this particular party. You can read on. I'm not going to read all this for sake of time. But the Lord goes on and he goes further and he warns Samuel that the king in which they will desire, which will end up being King Saul, oh, he's going to look the part, he's going to talk the part, he's going to have a smooth tongue, he's going to have all the right points, he's going to give out free stuff to everybody, he's going to push for certain groups to be heard and to be visible, he's going to scratch all the itching ears out there. But he goes on and tells you, the word of the Lord goes on and tells Samuel that this king in which they desire will ultimately bring them into captivity and the judgment of God, because that king will ultimately reject God, disobey him, the anointing will lift off of him, and God will seek out another. And guys, I'm not trying to make this political at all. I'm just giving you the Bible. Hosea chapter 8, Israel, this is verse 2 through 4, Hosea 8, 2 through 4, Israel will cry to me, my God, we know you. Israel has rejected the good. The enemy will pursue him. They set up kings, but not by me. I said, they set up kings, but not by me. They made princes, but I did not acknowledge them. From their silver and gold, they made idols for themselves that they might be cut off. Now, I'm sure, listen, let me just get this off of my back real quick. People's going to get on here and say, well, this was only for the, and I've already had the comments come on this. When we announced what we're going to talk about tonight, I've already had the comments coming in and they try to refute this and say, oh no, those promises were, you know, God only addresses judgment to Israel and no other nation is, or every other nation is exempt from the judgment of God. Guys, that is absolutely unbiblical. That is coming from a place of that hyper grace nonsense where they teach again, these hyper grace preachers and teachers, they will completely ignore chapters like Matthew 25. When you get to the latter part of that chapter, God says the day will come when he himself will gather the nations of the world, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. He will put the wicked nations on the left, and the righteous nations on the right. I could take you to Joel chapter 3, and I can show you where God says that he in the last days will gather all the nations of the world, and he will bring them into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there he will enter into judgment against them because of their treatment to Israel, because they try to divide Israel. They try to destroy Israel. They come against the nation of Israel. And Joel says, the prophet says by inspiration of the Lord, that these nations will be gathered together in a battle called Armageddon, where those nations will be gathered there. The prophet Zechariah says in Zechariah 12, he says they'll be broken into pieces all because of their treatment to Israel. So listen, don't get on here and tell me God still does not judge cities and nations. I can take you in the New Testament where Jesus warned three cities of his day. He warned Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum, and says, woe unto you, all three of these. He said, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for you, or for Sodom and Gomorrah, than it will be for you, because for him to know it, to do right and doeth not. The Bible says where much is given, much is required. Now that brings me to America. You can go and back into the beginning and you can discover that our original founding fathers were men, most of them, not all of them, most of them were men of faith and men of God. And when they founded America, they made a covenant with God. They even quoted portions of the Torah, the book of Isaiah, all these things. They made a covenant with God. But then as time progressed through legislations and through laws and all these things, like the removal of prayer and Bible reading from schools and from classrooms, all these things, that was the beginning of this. And then the shedding of innocent blood and all these, and these abominations that were passed, and then Obama coming in and doing what he did in 2015. And it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And as we do this again, we have backslidden as America, just like Nineveh. Guys, that if you want to know really, and I want to give my thoughts on this, I'm going to put up a stake here. I'm going to put up a mental note here, because I want to finish this broadcast with my final thoughts. We're a week out from today of the solar eclipse. I'm going to give my final thoughts on this, and it comes right in conjunction with all of this. The bottom line is, as Israel as a nation began to turn from God, God permitted evil kings to rule over them. In 931 to 910 BC, we saw the rise of Jeroboam, who intentionally caused Israel to sin by erecting golden calves in Bethel and Dan and telling the Israelites, quote, here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. This is in 1 Kings chapter 12. Then you had the rise of Nadab. That's in 910-909 BC. This was Jeroboam's son. He practiced all the evils that his father practiced, and he ruled only for 2 years because he was killed by Baasha, and he became king in his place. And then that brings us to 909 to 886 BC, which is Baasha. He immediately killed everyone in Jeroboam's house. These acts caused God himself to pronounce the same judgment upon him, and his household met the same fate. Then in 886 to 885 BC, Elah rose to power and was killed in a drunken stupor. Then Zimri in 885 through 885 BC, he ruled for only 1 week and went down by taking his own life. Then you have Omri in 885 to 874 BC. He ruled for 12 years, and he was a wicked leader. Then you had, of course, you have Ahab in the time of Elijah, Ahab and Jezebel. Then you have Uzziah, and it goes on and on. All these, again, guys, the northern kingdom of Israel was plagued with wicked leaders that was given to them because of the backslidden state of the nation. So I said all that to say this. While we can point our fingers at Joe Biden or Obama or Trump or this or that, When are we going to acknowledge, friend, that it's deeper than just the leaders that are put in place? If you've been listening to anything I said, Daniel said it's God who sets up kings and sets down kings. The king is a reflection of the heart of the nation. Let me say that again. The king that is put in power is a reflection of the heart of the nation. You see, if you go back to the book of Exodus, the Bible says that there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Now that's where we're at today. We've got a whole generation that has risen up. We have a whole generation that is here now that does not know the works, the miracle working power, come on, the mighty acts of God that many of us know that are a little bit older from the moves of God, the displays and demonstrations of the Holy Ghost that we saw 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and the fear of God, the reverence of God that we had in our nation. Here's a perfect example. Here's a picture from Easter 1959, New York City with three crosses versus 2024 Easter, where the governor of New York City declared that she is going to light up the city square with the colors of transgenders. Oh, how we have fallen as America. See, my friend, when we as a nation begin to turn from God, reject his commandments, reject his statutes, and we turn to idolatry, we turn to false gods, we turn to materialism, money, wealth, prestige, power, government, political leaders, politicians. When we do this, we are literally spitting in the face of God. And then we sit around and we scratch our head and we wonder, why is God allowing these things to happen? Why is God allowing strange events to happen? Why is the marine life in certain places in the United States dying? There was a new report saying that scientists are left baffled and confused, and they can't figure out why the animals are the fish in the water are swimming in circles until they're dead. And then I read Hosea 4, and it's not really a mystery to me, because Hosea tells you in Hosea chapter 4, there's no truth, there's no mercy, there's no knowledge of God in the land. There's continuation of swearing and lying, killing, stealing, committing adultery. There's no restraint, bloodshed upon bloodshed. And it says because of this, the direct result of it is the very land itself will mourn. Everyone who dwells in it will waste away. Even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and even the fish of the sea will be taken away. We wonder why there's such disasters and calamities and destruction. Guys, open your eyes and see that God is allowing judgment, selective judgment. We're not talking about the wrath of God. We're not in the tribulation. We're talking about the selective judgments of God are here. They're now. They're happening. But I think, listen, here's the warning, guys. If you want to know what this is where I'm going to finish this message with this today. If you want to know where, here's my final take on the solar eclipse. But again, we're 1 week away, Monday, April 8th, 1 week from now. Here's my final take on it. Is the solar eclipse, let me cover all the stuff I see circulate on social media all over the place. Oh, the solar eclipse is a warning that the rapture is going to happen. No. Oh, the solar eclipse is the end of the world. No. Let me tell you what I believe this solar eclipse is a sign of. I believe this. Listen, when you go to the book of Genesis, where in which we go all the way back to the beginning, and all the way back to the beginning, Genesis 1:14, God says, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons. That word signs there, as we've pointed out many times, is, again, it's a warning, it's an omen, it's a harbinger, it's a billboard that he puts in the sky. So guys, listen, more than likely, what's going to happen with the solar eclipse? Probably nothing. It's not going to be the end of the world. It's not going to be the trumpet blast. It's not going to be the rapture. It's not going to be an alien base. It's not going to be all this nonsense. People are, listen, on the worldly perspective of that, people are getting, they're starting to get that Y2K craziness about them. Remember that in 1999? They had this same kind of craziness about them, about the upcoming 2000. And it got to almost to the point where it was apocalyptic, where they thought everything was going to shut off, the world was going to end, all this. No, guys, we've had solar eclipses for thousands and thousands of years. We had one in 2017. But look at the hype that's around this one. There are so many, and I don't want to rehash all that, but I'm going to tell you, I believe what we need to be worried about is not the day of the eclipse, but it's what's coming after the eclipse. Let me say that one more time to have that on record. It's not the day of the eclipse that I'm concerned about. It's the day after the eclipse. You see, I base that upon history, and I base that upon the ancients that taught these things. We've went over that. Let me just use one example. If you go to the time of Nineveh, the time of Jonah, did you know that when Jonah was sent to Nineveh, they just came out of a solar eclipse, which was a sign in the heavens to warn Nineveh that judgment was coming. So the prophet showed up after a plague, after a civil war, and after a solar eclipse, and said, "Thus saith the Lord, you have 40 days to repent, lest the judgment of God fall upon this city." Thus, listen to me. You want to know what this solar eclipse is? Monday, April 8th. It is a harbinger, a billboard, a warning, kind of like if you're going down a road, you're going down the interstate or a back road, and you come upon a sign, and the sign says, "Warning, bridge out ahead." How many believes your car is not going to plunge into the water at the sight of the sign? The first sign that comes, there's not going to be a gaping hole and you fall into the river. No, the sign is, oh, come on, somebody. The sign has been presented. The sign is put in place before the actual event takes place. So I believe that this solar eclipse is a harbinger for the nation of America, or I would say the West. And it is a, just like in Nineveh's time, we have a space to repent. So listen, you know what pastors need to be doing all across the nation? They need to be calling a day, not a day of prayer. Prayer is good. But listen, we have prayed and prayed and prayed, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be praying anymore, but we need a leader to stand up and begin to call a day of repentance. We need a repentance from this nation, a cry of repentance. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves in prayer and turn from their sins and from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven and heal their land." So listen, we can apply this, guys, to even the upcoming election. Who's going to get in there? Is it going to be Biden? Is it going to be Trump? What's going to happen? Well, listen, we can gauge what's going to happen depending on our reaction, how we respond to God. How do we as a nation respond to the warnings of the people? I'm going to say it a step further. The warnings of the modern day watchmen and prophets. The problem is you've got a lot of you people that don't even believe that God is still warning people through modern day prophets, because you've got some dead theologian standing up behind a pulpit or on television or on YouTube telling you that God done away with prophets and he don't show visions anymore and he doesn't give dreams anymore and he doesn't give warnings anymore. And that's the problem. Listen, it's not, so we've got a double-edged sword. We got the world falling away, turning from God, turning from faith, turning from all, any remotely close to anything to deal with religion at all. And then the other side of the sword that is a double-edged sword is you got people that call themselves Christians, even in among Christian circles, that don't even believe, come on, that there is still watchmen and still prophets, and that they laugh when we get up here and we tell you the things that we're telling you and the warnings and the harbingers and all the signs. They laugh us to scorn. But guys, listen, I didn't come by so you can give me a Kleenex so that you can comfort Brother Ricky because I'm so distraught. No, I'm not distraught, friends. I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted at this nation. I'm disgusted at its leadership. I'm disgusted at us pointing or sticking our finger in the eye of God. We're rejecting God. We're doing detestable things. We're blaspheming him. We're spitting in his face and I don't want to say as a nation as a whole, because there's a lot of good people out there that are not doing this. But again, unfortunately, listen to me. When God judges a nation, a lot of innocent people is going to suffer the repercussions of this. This is why it's imperative that we stand in the gap and we intercede. Come on, for our cities and our nation and wherever we live. Because of these legislations and the actions of these nations' leaders, we are paying the price for this. And I don't have time to elaborate on that, guys. We could go so much farther into this. Famines, pestilence, plagues, disasters. And we've done this. We try to really do this out throughout the whole week. And on every, you know, week after week after week on these podcasts, we try to give you all these headlines from a prophetic perspective and try to give you the pulse of where we're at as a nation, as the world, and on the time frame and the scale of Bible prophecy. We are in the birth pangs of the Messiah, but my friends, the dispensation of the age of the church age, the dispensation of grace is about to close. It's about to come to an end, and I'm going to tell you, once that take place, according to the Word of God, according to the book of Ephesians, it says at the fullness of time, when the fullness of the dispensation of time has come, God shall gather together all that are in him in heaven and in earth. That is, I'm telling you, that is the harpazo, the gathering together, the rapture of the church. It's all this is coming, guys. Like a freight train racing down the track. And the question today is this: where are you at? Where do you stand? What do you believe? Where's your faith in? Who's your faith in? Is your faith and trust in the government? If it is, you're going to be disappointed. Oh, my faith, Brother Ricky, is in Trump. If Trump gets in office, it's going to all turn around. Well, friend, I think you're going to get a rude awakening as well. Because again, it ain't up to Trump to save us. And it never was. Nor any politician. And listen, what makes you so sure that Trump's going to get in office in this year in November? Because again, according to what I read in the scripture, that if there is no repentance and there's no turning back to God, then God will just allow us as a nation to continue further in decline and go into greater captivity. And eventually, guys, we could be completely overtaken and destroyed altogether. I know you don't want to talk about that, but I'm telling you, if there is no genuine move on a national level of repentance and turning back to the true and living God, then we have perilous days ahead. And guys, I don't know about you, but I'm not investing my trust in a politician or a political party or the government or the stock market or Wall Street or my own power. I'm investing my trust and my faith and my security in the one who's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to set up his kingdom and rule and reign. And that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so if you're watching this today, you're listening today, you're away from God, you don't know God, I implore you today to seek him while you can. Repent of your sins, put your faith and trust in him today for the remission of your sins, because time is running out, friends. Again, we're about to see a major harbinger in the sky 1 week away. The warning sign is there. And it's saying, you need to be aware of what's coming ahead. Bad things are coming ahead if there is no repentance. Repentance brings refreshing. Refreshing brings reprieve. If there's no repentance, there's no refreshing. If there's no refreshing, there's no reprieve. And if there's no reprieve, friend, then we're on track. Again, based on the book of Jude, if we go in the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, our destiny will be that of Sodom and Gomorrah as well. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, guys, Download our free app. It's available on Apple, Android devices. You can get it today free. Just hit that yes to push notifications once you download it, and you're going to be squared away. And, of course, guys, again, don't forget to hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification so that you can be notified of all of these upcoming videos on those platforms, on Rumble, YouTube. Plus, it helps us get the word out. I can't express that much. That's how these videos get visibility, guys. Smash that like button. Again, hit that button, hit that bell notification, do all that for us. Please help us to do that. And again, guys, if you would like to support this ministry, it's a blessing to you. It equips you, it informs you, encourages you week after week after week. We want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically by going down to the bottom of your app, hitting that donate button with the heart on it, and it'll take you to a page where you can do that. Or you can give electronically through endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or you can make a check or money order out. We call it this the old school method. You can give that way through making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, again, we appreciate you coming on here today. Also wanted to give you, I'm going to let you know, we've got a busy week this week. Tomorrow, April 2nd, my oldest son turns 16 years of age. It's hard to believe, but he's turning 16. This Thursday, my family and I will be heading out of town. We will be gone for a family event again to celebrate my son's birthday. We'll be gone Thursday and Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Be back. We should be able to broadcast probably Tuesday. So what we're going to try to do this week is we're going to try to push out. We're going to get here in the studio, and we're going to try at least do three or four more tapings so we can have them all lined up for you, so we won't miss anything. At all. We'll be off regularly on Wednesday, and we'll have these. We're going to do some segments that we're going to record in the studio, and we'll broadcast them probably on Thursday and Friday and on Monday. We're going to try our best. So we'll keep you updated and let you know on that. So I appreciate your prayers on that as we move forward with the month of April. Again, rocky road ahead, bumpy road ahead. Buckle up and get ready, because who knows what's coming down the pike. So God bless you guys. Listen, we're going to sign off for tonight. We'll see you tomorrow, April 2nd, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, same time, same place, same channel. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.